Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Life Enthusiast Co-op Online Radio Network, restoring vitality to you and the planet. I'm your co-host, Scott Patton, and joining us, as usual, is the founder of the Life Enthusiast Co-op, Martin Patella. Hey, Martin, how are you doing today?
Excellent. Thank you.
Good.
Enjoying winter for a change.
We had a little bit of snow a couple of days ago, and I was out doing my annual shoveling. It was nice to get it out of the way.
You know, I'm thinking now that the atmosphere is warming up, and I personally believe it's because of increased solar activity, not because of CO2 in the atmosphere. But anyway, the atmosphere is heating up. The global warming is noticeable, and the warmer air holds more moisture, which then gets to be dumped. And
right.
So, you know, the northeast, like from, never mind, east from Atlanta all the way up to Bangor, Maine, is getting unusual snowstorms. Like, I was reading somewhere in North Carolina, their $30 million annual snow removal budget was $26 million spent. that was before the next storm was coming, right?
Right.
And I'm thinking, oh dear, this is right in the year when municipalities and all of these organizations are suffering from decreasing tax revenue. I mean, people are strung out with declining house values, and I suspect that there are taxpayers who have stopped paying taxes, and businesses are not able to be squeezed as much. And so all
the sales are all down.
Sales are down, volume is down, everything's down. So we're getting squeezed in all manner, right?
Yeah. Well, I know I read recently that the city of London, England, was looking at what they're going to have to do because the last 2 years they've basically been shut down.
Yeah.
Sorry, there was a weird sound in the background. They've been basically shut down from all the snow. And, the previous 5 years to 100 years, they'd hardly had any snow. And now they've got these snowstorms that they're just saying, well, do we really, is this going to continue? Do we need to buy, 500 snow trucks? Or
yes.
Is this just a little blip in the weather? So
right.
There's a lot of interesting decisions that governments are going to have to be making over the next few years, I think.
Right. And what money are they going to use to pay for it?
Yeah.
The federal government is overextended. The state governments, plural, are overextended. The city or county or whatever else governments are overextended. The pressure is building. Anyway, it's going to be an interesting few years.
It certainly is. And speaking of interesting things, we had an interesting email from one of our customers.
Oh, yes.
And I thought it would be interesting to quote certain parts of it and then kind of discuss some of it, because I think she's not alone. And I think if I was to kind of give the quick overview, is here's someone who has done everything kind of by the book, what the experts say to do, and usually got the opposite reaction to what most people would have got. So,
let me pre-phrase it, or pre-frame it, I should say, which is this. Biological individuality is something that's really important, but it is completely ignored by the Western medical model, and it's largely ignored even by the alternative, naturopathic, whatever, practitioners as well. And this is hugely important. People just miss it. Most health practitioners treat everyone else as if they were of the same metabolic makeup as themselves.
Right. Actually, that happened to me in my previous life in the grocery business.
Oh.
I remember standing in the potato chip aisle with the manager, looking at the boxes and boxes of potato chips, and we were out of salt and vinegar. We had tons of every other type. And both he and I said, can't stand salt and vinegar. So we assumed nobody else could stand it either. And of course, lots of people love it. And we never ordered enough of that. And we ordered lots and lots of everything else. So it was really... it was really funny, but it's a great example.
Yeah, okay, I hear you. So you were ordering to your taste as opposed to what was coming off the shelf.
That's right. Yep. That's right.
Yes. So here goes. There are essentially two metabolic types. One is alkalized by fats and proteins. The other one is alkalized by fruits and vegetables. And in general, the difference is between the linebacker and the quarterback. You know, the quarterback is usually quick-witted and quick to move and
lean.
Yes, well, he can put on weight, but for different reasons. But he'll be definitely more the sprinter, whereas the linebacker type will be sort of built like a truck and will be slow to upset, but once upset will be like unstoppable, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you...
plodding, not in a bad way, but in terms of takes a step, and nothing can push him off.
Right, but if you get him into a stampede, he's going to ball over everything.
Right.
So anyway, those are the two main obvious types. Of course, it's a continuum, so everybody is... a little bit of both, sort of like the yin and yang symbol, you know, where you have a bit of the black in the center of the white and a little bit of the white in the center of the black half of the circles.
Right.
So we are like that in this sense as well, the metabolic type. But the point needs to be made that, let me say it this way. When Dr. Atkins came up with the Atkins diet, he essentially promoted eating protein and fat heavily. And it works exceedingly well for some people. But it totally doesn't work for others. And the opposite of it, there's this fruitarian, raw foodist sort of diet that Dean Ornish is an example of people who promoted something like that. Low fat, mostly fruit, mostly veggies diet.
Mm-hmm.
Which works for about half the people, but it's extremely damaging to others. In fact, why don't you just quote some of this story to get some relevance in?
Sure. She goes, "Hi, Martin. Thanks so much for the information. For years as an adult and even a few as a teenager, I lived on Atkins. I was quite successful with this, and even though there were also a few years where I did not eat properly, I could always go, quote, straight, unquote, and get healthy, lose weight, etc., within a reasonable time frame. I was happiest and feel the best when I am eating veggies, both cooked and or raw, and meat as well as seeds and nuts. I spent most of my life avoiding sugar altogether, as well as most carbs, including bread and even ketchup, when I discovered as a teen that I just could not metabolize them. So that lifestyle is not new to me. In fact, I'm quite comfortable. The problem is that after I had my daughter, everything changed. And try as much as I do to combat the mess my health has become, nothing works as it should. And for several years, whenever I would try to do Atkins, my colon would basically seize up. After a few tries and a couple of times, I became extremely ill and gave up on Atkins. I tried juicing and my colon seized up the first day. I had to have antibiotics. I guess I had inflammation in there before, and perhaps I'd simply done... She was surprised at how well my colon reacted when she went on a raw, organic fast. But there were a few years she couldn't eat raw produce in any form. It had to be at least steamed, or my colon would revolt. So that's kind of...
So what we're reading between the lines, what she's not saying, but what really was happening, is that the terrain, the biosphere of her digestive tract went downhill. Somewhere around the time of the birth, whether of her child, whether it was a hormonal change or perhaps something else that did it. I mean, it's a major stress in a woman's life to do that.
Yeah.
The bacterial terrain in her colon just went, you know. She started missing the good culture. She did right. not have enough of the fermented cultured foods in her life, and it just went to pieces. Essentially, we would call it leaky gut or intestinal dysbiosis or fungus or candida. You know, people come with all these different names, but that's what this is.
And then she said she would never take any traditional medicines for anything, but a couple of years ago her blood sugar was so out of control, and no matter what she did, she could not lose weight. And of course, she had lupus, and that was just raging, and her blood pressure was hitting 200 over 100.
Yeah.
So then she was so scared that
so let me pause you for a sec. These are multiple names for one thing, inflammation.
Yes.
I mean, out of control inflammation. Yeah. Metabolic stress all the way. Yeah. Anyway.
So she started taking medicines because
yeah.
nothing she did was working anyway.
Yeah.
And then she had additional problems, of course. And she couldn't tolerate a lot of the medicines that they prescribed. And then she started taking MSM.
Mm-hmm. Methyl sulfonyl methane. Essentially sulfur that's in human compatible form.
Okay. So when that happened, her blood pressure normalized. Not as low as it used to be most of her life, but close enough.
Yeah.
And she was able to get off the medications.
Yeah.
And the pain and utter exhaustion got to the point where she could start to function normally. She says somewhat normally. But no matter what she tried, fenugreek, Gymnema sylvestre, alpha...
Oh, that's Gymnema sylvestre, yes. Yeah, you're always butchering these Latin
names. I love butchering these names. Alpha lipoic acid, cinnamon, banana. I want to say banana, but the last end is a B.
Yeah.
Banana leaf tea.
Well, whatever. I mean, it doesn't matter. Okay. She was taking all manner of herbs that are documented to help with this metabolic stress, but she was combining both sides. Like, for instance, cinnamon was on the right side, but I'm not so sure that the Gymnema is the right herb for that body type. So
just trying everything like crazy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, once you become desperate, it's just crazy. You start thrashing around. But because you don't have a guiding principle, it's just very difficult to find any, anchor, right?
It's like being in the wilderness on a night, at night, like 2 a.m. with a new moon, so you can't see a thing.
Yeah.
And you're trying to get out of the blackberry bushes.
Right. Or as Stephen Covey put it, you're driving in the city, you're driving in Houston with the map of Chicago.
Yes.
Right? And you just can't find anything. Okay, so there we have it. So, well, where are we? So I know what I will tell her next. You know, she is in massive inflammation. There are three things that need to happen for her. One is we need to bring the inflammation under control. There are two products that we have tested and documented to work. One of them is the free-form amino acids that Dr. Vickery has formulated. And the other one is this thing called Recovery, which, again, contains large amount of MSM, but also a few other things like resveratrol and EGCG and other TNG. All these wonderful words, right? Oh, magic.
Yeah.
In the name of the this and the that and the that and the that, I bless you now and you will be released from your pain, right? These are all these magic words that we natural healers use, you know.
Right. So you've mentioned a number of times if you have a certain blood type and then that creates a certain metabolic type. And so one, you know, is a meat eater and one is more a veggie eater, if I can split it up kind of like that.
Yes, you can.
But with things like you're talking about the amino acids or the stuff that's in recovery, the MSM, does that matter whether you're what your metabolic type is?
No, it doesn't matter. What you could be a dog or horse or a cat or a human, regardless. At the tissue level, we're identical. So when we're going for the repair, we use the same tools. But
so if I was a car and I was a Porsche, or I was a car and I was a Toyota Corolla, we're still using screwdrivers and wrenches.
Right, and Bridgestone tires.
And Bridgestone tires, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. So, and she mentioned, by the way, that she's a type O plus.
Right, positive, yeah. Which means that indeed she would do well with the Atkins. The O's are the original hunter-gatherers. They are good on, mostly are good on the fats and protein diet. So these people are really made to eat meat, or at least high protein diet, and they don't do well with carbs at all. I mean, grains usually slay them. These are the people. Well, visualize the Native American. They have this enormous problem now with obesity and diabetes, because their mechanics, their design, is suited for hunting either buffalo or deer, eating berries, not grains, not the prairie farming and soy and corn and wheat. Uh-uh, no, sir. Not theirs.
Right.
So, of course...
Well, and she mentioned in the beginning she loved the Atkins diet, mm-hmm. and she also didn't care if she ate any sugar or not.
Yeah, which is typical. This is good. So, unfortunately, once your digestive system is broken, it's nothing works, you know. So these tools that I named, like the amino acids or the recovery, these are now shortcuts to wellness. We're now using tools that are bypassing the deficiency. The deficiency is in the gut, okay? And and how does this happen? Well, it starts with the toxins, the industrial toxins. You know, this is the death by a thousand little cuts, or the last straw that breaks the camel's back. You know, visualize. I might have said this before, but I think it's worth repeating. Which, you know, you take the camel and you start loading packages on it, right?
Yep.
And 100 pounds of this, and 50 pounds of this, and blah blah blah. You know, and soon enough, it's too much, and you break the camel's back. Now, at that point, it's not good enough for you to unload two or three packages, the last two that were too much. You can now unload all of the packages, and you still have a camel with a broken back.
That's right.
So now, you know, whatever happened with the, say, the pregnancy, that probably was the last package that we loaded on this little proverbial camel, and it broke her back. Now what? Right? How do we unload this whole thing?
Right.
And the unloading needs to happen through detoxification. She needs to unload all of the industrial era toxins. The lead, mercury, the long lineup, cadmium, arsenic, volatile organic compounds, herbicides, pesticides, fire retardants, you name it. The works, the long lineup. That needs to come out of the body, because that's what's loading the immune system, and that's what's weighing down the digestive system. And the second thing is we need to restore the proper culture in the gut. And that will happen through fermented or cultured foods.
Give me an example of a fermented or cultured food.
Well, the most commonly used would be yogurt, kefir, sauerkraut, kimchi, kombucha. Those are them.
When we're talking about yogurt, I just kind of want to be clear on this for our listeners, because I know this is what I would do, is I would go to the local grocery store and I would get some
yogurt.
Peach flavored yogurt, or
yeah, with
vanilla and chocolate covered yogurt,
right.
Or
and you would get the
zero fat, zero calories yogurt because you're afraid of getting overweight, right?
Yeah, but my favorite is one that's got, it's caramel flavored yogurt.
Oh, really? Oh, well, they're so different. Okay, so the point is this.
I would be thinking I'm putting good cultured yogurt in my stomach and probably not.
Well, it goes something like this. Your digestive system, when it becomes overrun by the yeast or fungus, which lives on sugar or carbohydrates, will just, as soon as you send carbs down the chute, it's like clap heads of these little creatures who say, yum.
Yeah.
Because that's
Let's have more babies, honey.
Yeah. Yes, honey, we will grow again. End of starvation for us now. So, of course, you know, people who are overgrown with the yeast, they will bloat after eating foods with carbs. You know, people will complain, I always bloat after I eat. But they don't say, I bloat after I eat X, like carbs or fruits. Because every meal that they eat is carbs and meats and everything else. So they don't even separate one from the other. So they'd say, I just bloat. No, you don't just bloat. You bloat. So the yeast is fed by carbs, by sugar, and they grow from it. And so people who don't recognize the difference between eating meats and carbs mixed together, thereby causing themselves all this distress, they just think that all food is making them sick. But it's not so. It's only some food that's making them sick.
Mm-hmm. And usually we're not sensitive enough to tell the difference.
Especially when we eat meals that always contain all the bits.
Yeah, and if you, between meals, you're eating those potato chip boxes of potato chips that I was talking about earlier, and soft drinks, and all sorts of other things that are not good for your system. It's really interesting because my son has recently been eating very clean and you know, working out and been on a very disciplined regimen and having wonderful results.
Uh-huh.
And what I notice is if he gets off of it once in a while and has an apple pie or something, later it's kind of like, oh, I wish I hadn't had that apple pie. So he can tell the difference that it makes in his body now.
Yes. And yeah, the cleaner you are, the more immediate the negative effect.
Yeah. So it's just a matter of discipline and practice. One of the things I think is really important is that it takes the body a while to make these changes. It's not something like, I had some raw fruit and vegetables yesterday. So now I should be better. It can take a couple months, 3 months for some of these changes to become noticeable in the body.
Right. So let me finish the thought. You asked about that peach or caramel flavored yogurt.
Yes.
So it's the lactose, which is the sugar in the milk, that is consumed by the lactobacilli, the yogurt culture, that turn them from the not tolerant lactose into fermented, consumed, no lactose yogurt. So plain yogurt that is fully processed is fine. But when you now add stuff back into the yogurt, which would be sweeteners and fruit and whatever, you have defeated the purpose. So that's the point. You re-sweetened the yogurt that was supposed to be sugar-free. And the similar thing is with, say the sauerkraut. You take cabbage and all of the natural sugars that are in the plant, all the starch that's in the plant, is converted into these beautiful nutrients that are stable for the longest time. But you must get non-pasteurized sauerkraut, which is difficult because all of the stuff that sits in the bottles on grocery store shelves had to have been pasteurized, or else it would continue.
Rot.
It would continue to ferment. No, it won't rot.
Oh, ferment, sure, and blow up.
It's like champagne. It just continues to go. And so if you pop the lid and it doesn't give you significant kick, it's dead. It's asleep. There's nothing there.
Right.
Now, here's a challenge. If you live in an apartment or a townhouse and you start yourself a crock filled with sauerkraut to make it ferment, that thing is gassing off some vile, vile smells. I mean, it's
right.
It really smells like a whole bunch of cows and horses farting. It is intense. So you better be able to put it somewhere ventilated, away from living quarters, and away from where your neighbor's furnace intake is. Otherwise, you're going to cause them to move.
So I guess part of what we're getting to here is we have kind of a choice between really what is considered good tasting and not so good tasting foods, and it's kind of the short-term gain for long-term pain, or short-term pain for long-term gain going on.
Yes, we do. Yeah, it takes a while to get used to the fact that you will not be eating sweets. You know, many people, who, especially those who are the adrenal types, you know, they're addicted to coffee and something. Coffee and donuts, coffee and something else, right?
Yeah.
It's what they use to get them going. And you need to wean off of that. And it's going to be difficult.
Well, and the thing is, too, is it takes time.
Yes, it takes time.
You know, if you were addicted to heroin, it would take time to...
To detox, yeah.
To detox, and this is kind of the same thing. So, and one of the things that makes it easier is if you start putting in good nutrition, superfoods and stuff like recovery and some of the good fermented foods, you just sort of add to it, right?
Yes, precisely. So the point is, we have now found a wonderful company. It's called Genki Foods. And these people actually ferment the foods, and they have developed a proprietary process by which they're able to store the food. They dry it out. You start with seeds, you sprout them. When they're grown, you feed them to the fermenting culture. They become fermented, and then instead of having to ship it to you wet, they are able to dry it out and send it to you in either capsules or in a bag of powder. So
nice.
It is actually stable, and you can eat this, and it will, absolutely will, help with your intestinal terrain. And this is what people need to understand. One of the most popular, shall I call them, people who has been talking about this for years is Donna Gates. I don't know if the listeners have heard of Body Ecology Diets and Donna Gates, but...
No, I haven't.
Okay, too bad. She's a shining example of it. You know, there's this woman who's like 64 years old and still looks 40-ish. And,
nice.
And she, anyway, you know, when in her book she writes how in her young years she was a complete wreck like everybody else. But thank God she was a wreck. She had to find a way out of it, and she found the way through fermentation or culturing of vegetables. And she promotes young coconut kefir, you know, where you ferment the coconut juice, convert the sugars in the coconut into the fermented fizz, and also sauerkraut. And there are other ways to do that, but the downside of it is that it takes work, and it makes your house smell really something.
Yeah.
So we were lucky enough to find a commercial producer that's willing to take all of that unpleasantness out of it.
Cool.
Yes. And yeah, you need to keep these things cool. I actually just tried one of the products that they make. It's called Rocket Fuel on the product label, but privately Brian calls it the Swamp Juice.
the swamp juice.
And I tell you, what he does, he takes spirulina and feeds it to these to the fermentation process. And I don't know if you remember what spirulina smells like when it's just fresh raw. It's a very fishy, marine kind of smell. Well, anyway, once it's fermented, it is just so intense. Anyway, I found it to be like the most powerful olfactory experience I've had in a long time. I actually called him back and I said, "Are you sure this thing is not spoiled?"
Right.
So he sent me another bottle. He said, "Okay, I've opened this one, tested it. It's exactly as it's supposed to be." So I opened it, and it just about knocked me over. So I want to assure our clients that not all of these products are this intense, but the rocket fuel, that's for people who really are ready for the trip. I don't want people ordering it thinking that it's going to be a walk through a rose garden. No, this is going to be like a walk through the latrines.
It's going to be a bit of a challenge because that's what happens when you do 10, 20, 30, 40 years of toxic living, whether it's because of the environment we're in or the food that we eat and the medications we take.
Yes, and especially the heavy metals we get into our bodies, starting from the dental amalgams. You know, the silver fillings are an absolute killer to your immune system and to your digestive system. I would suspect that the biggest issue that people have is caused by that. And it's not reported enough, it's not in the general consciousness. And I'm not saying it just because that was my problem. I really think this is widespread.
Right.
So there. So do you have any more thoughts from that sad letter?
Well, the one thing that kind of stood out for me was towards the end, or might have been in her the first letter she sent to you is, she says, "Having used natural healing methods for over a decade, I do realize there are various levels of healing and all can bring about physiological symptoms which are markedly similar to many illnesses. So when things started going haywire, I thought perhaps I wasn't getting enough organics."
Oh yes, I remember this. She actually, you know, this is important. Thank you for bringing it up. This lady got herself on a program I actually recommended. In recent past, in the last few months, I've recommended three different programs. One of them was Raw, Simply Raw, or Raw in 30 Days. That was for the diabetes. The other program was David Wolf's and then Dr. Stengler's. And each one of them is telling an important part of the story. But they're not telling the whole story. They're just telling the story from the perspective of who it will fit. So this lady indeed got herself on the program, which was against her metabolic type. And instead of stopping, she persisted. She just, you know, it's sort of like you walk out the door and you notice it's storming. And you say, "Oh, it's just a bit of weather." And you start heading into it. And you didn't listen to the news that says, "By the way, it's hurricane coming through, batten down, do not go outside." She just went right at it.
And she did. She was eating a cucumber a day.
Right. Well, cucumber is fairly innocent. That wouldn't have slain her. But all the other things that she was doing along with that were just pushing her more and more into the fruits and vegetables instead of the fats and proteins. So she was becoming more and more acidic as each day progressed, until finally she broke down. So whoever's listening to it, if you're contemplating going on a diet of any sort, any diet kick, you must understand that if that diet goes against your body type, you're going to hurt yourself. It's a promise. You're going to hurt yourself if you go against your metabolic type. Well, couldn't have said
it. So don't wait until you're collapsing and everything is broken down to go see the mechanic.
Right, to get the message that if you're if whatever you're doing is making you feel worse consistently, it's wrong for you. It's not wrong for everyone, it's just wrong for you.
And it may only be wrong for you at that point, because if you've got a problem, and like a lot of inflammation and everything else, and maybe your whole system, if you were all at optimum health today, maybe it would be the perfect thing to do. But if your whole system is out of whack, like you had mentioned earlier, Martin, yeah, then all you're doing is putting it more out of whack, because you're not actually really solving the underlying problem.
Yes, very well.
So if somebody wanted to know more, or maybe they thought, well, okay, you know, I've been doing all these things and I'm not really feeling that great, what should I do? What should he do or she do?
Well, there's at www.life-enthusiasts.com, in the search box, type the words metabolic type, T-Y-P-E, and five or six pages come up, and read it. Just get yourself familiar with the concept of the metabolic type, because if you are going to go against your metabolic type, you're going to hurt yourself. Once you go along with it, the world's going to change dramatically in a positive way.
It's kind of like putting sugar water in the gas tank of your car and then wondering why it doesn't go.
It's about that bad, yes.
Cool. So, Martin, if somebody wanted to chat with you personally, how could they get a hold of you?
Life Enthusiast, 1-866-543-3388. This is the close of today's podcast. Thank you very much for listening. This is Life Enthusiast Co-op, restoring vitality to you and to the planet.